Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Dear saints, as we walk with Jesus today, your Jesus would have us consider three things. First, that he gives you the Holy Spirit, and he calls him a helper. So we consider what sort of helper this Spirit is. Second, that your Jesus thinks it important that he does not call the Holy Spirit a helper, but that he calls him the helper. And finally, the third thing, dear saints, I hope will be a bit uncomfortable for you, and that is to consider persecution. So first, your Jesus says this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." This word, helper, has a number of translations. Perhaps you've heard it here, that Jesus says, "I will send to you the Comforter." You heard that? "I'll send to you the Comforter, the Helper." In Greek, it's simply parakletos, or paraklete sometimes. I think if you've ever heard of that word, it's just translated that way. "I will send to you the paraklete." And I think perhaps the best translation of this word is that Jesus is getting at is he is saying, "I will send to you your defense attorney." And this is necessary, because there is this one picture that runs throughout all of Scripture, and that is you, dear saints, on the hot seat. Your Father as your judge. And you have two main accusers: Satan and your own heart. And what you need to live through this battle, what you need to live as you are standing accused by your own heart and by Satan, is you need a good defense attorney. One that you simply can't afford to buy for yourself, but whom your Jesus buys for you. So, we consider our first accuser, and that is the devil. Now, Scripture, Revelation speaks of Satan as one who accuses day and night. And this is a helpful way of picturing this. When Scripture says things like this, the point is that he is constant in his accusations. He is relentless. He is unceasing. So you can deflect one accusation, you can deflect the second accusation, but he just keeps coming at you. Over and over, relentless, you can't handle it. He's like a toddler who won't stop asking the same question. Can I have a piece of gum? No. Can I have a piece of gum? No. Can I have a piece of gum? Fine. His accusations just keep bulldozing at you. They poke you there, they poke you there, and they poke you here. And you can deflect them, but they will get you. You can't handle this relentless attack, dear saints. He accuses you day and night. He doesn't stop. And I don't know, I think this is pretty scriptural, but maybe it is just with me, but perhaps it is with you, that this whole idea that Satan accuses us day and night, that he comes with different accusations during the day. Yeah. And different accusations during the night. You have your daily accusations that he gets you. And then when you're trying to sleep, when you're lying in bed all alone, he comes at you with something different. I don't know if it's this simple, but I think for me personally, Satan's daytime accusations are the things that I don't do that I should do. He accuses me of laziness quite often during the day. And during the night, he accuses me of the things that I did wrong. Or the wrong that people did to me. And anger comes. And worry comes. And a burdened conscience comes along with this. What you need for this is a good defense attorney. But this isn't the only accusation. Because you have working with Satan your very own heart. And this is somewhat of a gift that you have from God. Because one of the worst things that we Christians could ever get is a hardened heart who does not feel God's accusations, the right accusations from the law. Consider our epistle lesson that says, "The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled." How are you doing on that? Controlling yourself. Controlling your emotions. Controlling your desires. Be self-controlled. Be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. How are you doing on that? Does your love cover a multitude of sins, or do you rather love to remember people's sins? Does your love cover, or does it rather like to accuse others of wrongdoing? Does it like to hold grudges? Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. How, dear saints, are you doing on your grumbling? Are you a professional yet? You've had practice since the day you were born at grumbling against each other. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Everything that you have, your money, your time, your mouth, your ears, everything in which you have is a gift from God to be used for the benefit of others. Does your heart condemn you? Because the question will come. The judge will look at you and he will ask you, what is your plea? How do you stand? The accusations have come. What is your plea? Are you guilty? Or are you not guilty? And one of the Spirit's greatest gifts is for you to stand before the judge and say, I am guilty. That's me. No excuses. It was my fault. Because then your defense attorney calls a witness. And it's your Jesus. And he says, dear Jesus, did they do this? Is that them? Is this who they are on the inside and on the out? And your Jesus says, no, I did it. I fess up. That's me. And in fact, that person that you see right there, They're perfect. They're innocent. They're blameless. And he looks up at the judge and he says, "Do you believe this?" And the judge says, "I don't believe them, but I do believe you, Jesus. For your sake, I believe it." And they are innocent. You are holy. You stand accused and forgiven. And so, dear saints, with that in mind, we need to consider why Jesus thinks it so important that he puts the word "the" in front of the helper, the defense attorney, the comforter, the helper. Because our constant desire is to consider other helpers and consider other helpers. Whether it's in the bottle, whether it's in the medicine, whether it's in another person. We have other helpers. We have other comforters. Not all are evil in and of themselves, but when we go to them alone, it is a lie. It is unsure. It is uncertain. Where do you find your help, dear saints? Ask yourselves that this week, today. Where do I go when I need help? Do I always trust this person? Do I always do this activity? Because your help, dear saints, does not come from that. That may be a helper, and thank the Lord if it is, but it is not the helper. The one that will not fail you is the Holy Spirit, the one whom Jesus sends to you from the Father and from Him. He is called the Spirit of Truth, which means, dear saints, that the truth never stops. It never will not help you. Everything else can be a lie. Everything else can be a deception. But this is the Spirit of Truth, and He bears witness about your Jesus, and He bears witness in His Word. His Word will not fail you. He is the helper. So confess. Confess that you look to other helpers. And then receive from help the helper. And the final thing. The final thing Jesus gets at here. In John chapter 16, verse 1, starting right there. "I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming that whoever kills you will think that he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me." You suffer. You have a life of suffering. And most of this is simply because we live in a sinful world, but there is an extra helping that God gives you. And that is the suffering of persecution for the Christian. I think this is rather personal, how you have been persecuted for the faith that you confess. I think the main thing that we suffer in this country is that we are called ignorant. That we are called bigots. That we are rejected. And you have this in your family, and you have this among your friends. You are ignored. And they are not simply rejecting Jesus. Because you and Jesus are bound up together in this life. When they reject your Jesus, when they call your Jesus a bigot, they are rejecting you. And it hurts. It hurts more than anything, I think, does in this life for your family and your friends to ignore you and the salvation that you proclaim in no other name. But today I want you to consider that that persecution is nothing compared to the persecution that people face in this world who bear the name of your brother and of your sister. There are people that are still put to death because they say Jesus is Lord. There are people who are imprisoned. There are people who are whipped and scourged because, dear saints, they say no other name can save. They are asked to recant and they say, I can't. That's my hope. That's my salvation. They say no. And that is your body, dear saints. That is your fellow Christian. Your hand does not say to your foot, I'm sorry you're hurting, too bad. You hurt. Hurt for them. Pray for them. Consider them. Listen to their voice. Follow their example. There is a woman in Sudan whose country, it says, is illegal to confess Jesus. And she was raised a Muslim, and she married a Christian, and they said, guilty, imprisoned. Do you recant? And she said, no. So they put her in prison. She was pregnant. They put her in prison with her 2-year-old son. She recently gave birth to the child that she was pregnant with. And she gave birth while she was in shackles, alone, with little to no help. She could have given birth in a hospital had she but said, Jesus is not Lord. But she refused. How does that measure up to your faith? Are you ready for that? Would you do that? And I think you are. That is, in fact, what you promised when you were confirmed. Would you rather suffer all, even death, than deny the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And your answer was, yes, I will, by the grace of God. What your Jesus is getting at by saying this is that you have accusers, you have your sin, and you have persecution. You're going to need a helper, and I will give him to you. And he will lead you into all truth, that your sins are forgiven, that you are never alone, and that you, dear saints, are promised glory, even as we suffer through this life. I think we're ready, if it comes to be that. And I know that our Jesus is ready to help. In his name. Amen.